Let us move forward in our dissertation. Someone see that our guest received the document, Scripture Distinctions of Actualization in Eternity from Manifestation in Time. We shall continue to move in the vein of conveying the message of God's eternal workings. In fact, all of the workings are in the eternal realm. He did nothing, and he does nothing on a daily basis. He doesn't need to.
No.
It's already done. Mm-hmm. No, God does not make daily decisions.
Nope.
Amen. When you're praying, you're not praying, and then God has to make up his mind what he's going to do about your situation.
Nope.
Amen. Oh, my God. This is why we have to separate actualization in eternity from manifestation in time.
Man.
What's going down is a depiction or a testimony of what God has already determined and done.
Man.
Say, well, I don't see it. Well, the actual bringing to being or bringing to pass does not reside. It does not reside. It does not reside in what you see.
Come on, man.
What you see is manifestation only.
Only.
It is only the testimony of what is, of what already is.
Amen. Right.
Amen. Oh my God, hallelujah. If we can come to understand that, amen, it should give us comfort. God has already worked this thing out. So, well, it may not be the way I want it. This is what we're trying to bring to light. Is that our focus should not be on what we're doing, what we want, mm-hmm. what our plans, gender, purpose are, but it should be on the basis of trusting him
yes.
and residing in what he has already accomplished for you.
Already.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And when we look into the essence and we look at the final picture, the big picture, we should say,
right.
Amen. He's got us in a very, very favorable position.
Amen.
That is, if you look at the big picture.
Big picture.
Amen. If you just look at the little picture, the difference between the little picture and the big picture, mm-hmm. the big picture is the essence of all God is, all that he has, mm-hmm. all that he has done, all that he has decreed. The little picture is what you see from day to day. And the circumstances that are in, that are presently being manifested in your life.
Right. Yeah.
And we get so caught up on that, and we think that, you know, this is why we stopped to give the illustration, and we passed out, and there are some in the back. We took this, the earth, and we juxtaposed it, because we took it and we compared it by looking at the picture of it side by side with just the planets in this solar system. And you look at Pluto, Earth is a little small thing.
Right.
And you compare it against the sun, it's a little bitty thing. When you compare it in the galaxy, which is the Milky Way, it's invisible.
Amen.
Not to mention, amen, when you compare it with the universe.
Amen.
Amen. And so, we're content that God is in control of all those things that's happening in the universe out there. Nobody argues about whether man has any control as to what's going on up there. So God, he's got all of that. That's all that his domain. When we get to Earth, it's our domain. We're in charge.
Okay.
Amen. We decide what happens on Earth. No, we don't. No, we don't.
Yeah.
Amen. In fact, the whole of the universe is just manifesting the internal purpose, will, and plan of God, of which it doesn't really cover it all. What does it? Just that part that God has chosen to reveal to us.
Amen.
Amen.
That
I would think that, in fact, I don't have to think, amen, Scripture's backed up to that there is much more that we don't know than what we do know.
Amen.
And we know very little. Oh my God, that which we know, that which He has chosen to manifest to us, is a minute part of all that God is. But oh, hallelujah, when we, amen, realize the essence of dwelling in the eternal realm with Him as members of the body of Christ, all of these things will have the capacity then to take it in.
Yes,
ooh,
yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes,
my Lord. Huh? And Paul just saw a glimpse of it.
Right.
Amen. And it blew him away.
Yes,
he said, I can't talk about it. He said, well, yeah. No, Paul, why can't you? He said, because, I mean, what words am I going to use to describe it?
Yeah.
Amen. That's why he used the term unutterable.
Right.
He said, I can't even, he said, you wouldn't, that would be no words to describe what, oh my God, isn't that something?
Glory to God.
That, I don't know about you, that just blows me away.
Amen.
Amen. And then I'm gonna get so caught up on what's happening down here at a certain time that I'm going to just, all of this just become oblivious to me. Say, oh, that doesn't mean nothing to me. My bill's behind me. But my God, isn't that crazy? Wow. Oh my God. And knowing that you're just on this earth for just a little while.
Amen.
Amen. What is even 100 years compared to eternity? Oh my God. Huh? And we get so caught up in this thing and we can't appreciate God, and even we assess God's goodness and His blessing based upon our earthly physical condition.
Amen.
Amen. God is only so good as how much money I got in the bank or how
Amen.
Good my health feels. Isn't that crazy?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Oh my God. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
That's why Paul could be in prison
yeah.
and writing, rejoice. And again, I've said, Paul,
rejoice.
Are you out of your mind? What? Well, I've never seen nobody in prison rejoicing. He said, well, it's not about what's happening to me right now.
Yeah.
Amen. The main thing. Oh my God, and the priority and the focus is of where I am, and I know I'm going to be. And
Amen.
Paul's Glory bottom God. Line is I'm persuaded that He's able to keep
Amen.
That which I've committed to Him
yes.
against that day,
yes.
and
Amen.
Nothing shall separate me from the love of God.
Amen.
He goes through a litany of things, and when He gets through, He says, if I've forgotten anything, not any other thing in creation can separate me from the love of God that's
Amen.
In Christ Jesus.
I
tell you, I don't care what's going on. You have all the world, amen, and all, amen, to praise and to magnify, all the reason I should say, to praise and magnify the God of your salvation.
Amen.
You.
I hear you.
Because what's going against you can't
Glory.
Compare with what's
you.
Going for you this morning. Now come on all to praise the Lord this morning.
Yeah. I hear you.
Hey, hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's take the document.
Glory to God.
On page one there again, scripture distinctions, actualization in eternity from manifestation in time. If you don't like the word, you don't like to talk about eternity, you're not going to like this ministry. Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah, we stuck, someone said one time, said, well, your pastor, he's stuck in eternity. I'm just as guilty could be. Amen. Oh, my God. Eternity. Everybody say eternity.
Eternity.
On the front page there, if you can read it, it says, viewing life, that's what a little picture is. You see all those people. Viewing life from the eternal plane where God accomplished all things does what? Brings peace to daily living. When you start viewing things from the essence of eternity, it brings peace. Huh? A peace, Paul writes, a peace that passes all comprehension.
Yeah.
Oh my God, isn't that something? No. Turn the page there and we see our base dissertation scripture. There, yes, the scripting is in Greek. And we put the Greek there because when we literally translate the English under it, amen, it comes out a whole lot different from what we read in most of our translations. And it reads, the translation it is, because all things were created in Him. You look above and you see, amen, the preposition is epsilon It's Absalom Ni, which is in, not by.
Right.
Not by him. And the reason that we are continually focusing on that is when you say by, many times when we say by, we think of something that's remote from the person.
Right.
They may be responsible for it, but they're not really, really, really a part of it.
Right.
Amen. But here is someone asking me the question, where is the universe, and where was Jesus in the universe? Where is God in the universe? We see the whole universe. Where is God in the universe? So he got it backwards.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
God is bigger than the universe.
Yes.
You can't put that which is bigger into something that is smaller.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. In fact, the universe is not even, I would say, a substantial part of God. Amen. So the universe is in God. God is not, y'all don't hear me, God is not in the universe. He's not everywhere. I guess they thought I was going to say everywhere. Amen. When the scripture is talking about him being omniscient, omnipresent, we must understand, amen, it's not in the essence of God being present in all the universe,
mm-hmm.
but that the universe is in him. That's how he's, y'all don't hear me, that's why, that's how he's omnipresent.
All right.
Amen. It's in him. So all things were created
in him,
in the heavens, and upon the earth. Amen. So the heavens were created in him, and that includes the earth. Visible and invisible. When you see the visible, that is the concreteness and the things. And when you see the invisible, that's the abstractness. That's every thought that's out there. Amen. Huh? Can the creature think independent of the creator?
Mm-mm.
No, he cannot. The creature can't do anything independent of the creator. This is what Paul was talking about on Mars Hills,
right,
when he was talking to those Athenians.
Right.
When he said, in him we move, we live, we have our being. Where? It's
in
all
him.
In him. You're breathing in him.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Oh my God.
Thank
huh?
God. Yes.
Without him, you can't even breathe.
No.
Oh my
yeah.
God.
Thank God.
And he goes on and he says, whether they are thorns or whether they are dominions or rulers, authority, Paul said, whatever they are, amen, all things. Everybody say all things.
All things.
They were created through him and unto him. That means for his purpose. Amen. So your life that you live is really not about you. It's about him.
Amen.
Thank God. Hallelujah. Amen.
You see, I don't know what the ministers, especially the mega ministers, are teaching. And they're teaching that, you know, this thing about you.
Yeah. Right.
And God is out there somewhere, you know, as an accommodator.
Right.
He just accommodate you.
Right.
Like we're in the center. We're in the nucleus. You know,
man.
Things are revolving around. No, nothing revolves around you. Everything revolves
I hear
around
you.
Him. It's to him, for him, unto him, his will, his plan, his purpose, his agenda, his goal. It's
man.
Not about you. It's all about him.
All about
oh,
God.
My God. If you could just come to understand that. Begin to focus away from ourselves.
Right.
Now, last week we were in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 through 7. Who is our Nickerson is our designated reader this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 through 7. Read the whole thing. We had gone through verses 1, 2, 3. I think we're starting on 4. We just want to hit a couple of things here. Do want to at least finish up the introduction this morning. Amen. We've got a long way to go. Amen. 1, 2, 3, and 4, 5, 6, and 7. So 4 through 7, we'll focus on that. And setting forth what Paul, as he writes to these Corinthians, he is trying to get them to understand. You know, they were Corinthians. They were a very physical church. That's why they were always in trouble. Amen. I mean, they in their minds, everything was physicalities. You know, that's why they went off on a tangent on the tongues. I mean, that was exciting. Even today, that's exciting stuff for some folk. You know.
That's it, yeah.
You know, healings of see somebody slain in the spirit. That's exciting stuff, isn't it? Oh my gosh, yeah, I want to go over there to that church. The spirit is high over there.
Amen.
Physical stuff. Amen. And yet, nobody could speak in tongues more than them. They were more healers in that church. The display and all of these things is carried over from the kingdom gospel.
Yeah.
And yet,
common.
They were the most common. The most spiritual, so they thought, but yet carnal. In this verse, Paul is saying, let me get you guys focused on the spiritual things.
Amen.
Everybody got that? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, I will read the King James. Yes.
12:4, 12:4.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Well, stop with verse 1. Just read verse 1 through 7 in the King James. Everybody got that? Now, we're not picking on the King James, and I have to keep on saying that. Amen. Most of us, we grew up, that's the Bible. Most of us, at least those that are here, amen, we most of us carry the King James. In fact, there are some denominations that claim that we say, we're King James only. You know, of course, I don't get upset if somebody would say that. I just know that they're just ignorant concerning, meaning that word ignorant simply, and with Paul use it here. They have a lack of knowledge. They don't understand. And this is why in the exercise that the pastor's was going through that, I was showing you what the King James was reading, and then, hey, when you exegete that thing, you break that thing down, it's not even the same thing. You said, my God, are you saying my Bible is wrong? No, the Bible is not wrong. The scriptures are perfect. It's the translations. Just because you picked up a King James Version, amen, you can't just go word by word and say, then how are we going to, the Spirit of God is what communicates to your spirit.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's right.
Line this thing up right.
Yeah.
Amen. Paul was telling them something completely different. And he wouldn't be telling them that they were ignorant concerning spiritual things if they weren't.
That's
would,
right.
Would he have?
Yeah.
I mean, here's the church that had more tongues, more healings, more signs, more so-called gifts of the Spirit. And yet, he said, concerning spiritual things, you're ignorant. I don't want you to be ignorant. But you are. I remember when we first started here, you know, someone talking about prayer lines. I said, no, we'll do that here. Do we pray for prayer? Yeah, we pray. We have prayer every Tuesday. Amen. If somebody want me to come pray for them, if they really want me to come, I'll pray. Amen. Because you might not like my prayer, but we pray for you. Because if I pray for you, I'm going to pray that God's will is done.
Right.
That's as far as I'm carrying it.
Right.
Amen. They said, what about for my healing? I'm going to pray God heals you according to his will. If it's his will for him to heal you. Because you walk out here and get sick, or then you're upset with God or me or somebody. Because what's going to happen to you is whatever God's will is.
That's right.
Man.
Amen. But the spiritual things. Things that are spiritual. Everybody say spiritual.
Spiritual.
All right, Elder Reed.
Now, concerning spiritual gifts. Brethren.
Right, he's reading from the King James, and we'll come back in the Greek and straighten that out. Your gifts there, if you understand it, it's italicized, which means it doesn't belong there.
Right.
Paul is not talking about spiritual gifts. This is the thing he's trying to convey to them to get them on the right track concerning.
Right.
Amen. Things that they were looking at and focusing on, calling themselves spiritual.
Right.
Amen. So concerning, read it.
Now concerning spiritual gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Brethren, I would not have you ignorant.
Mm-hmm.
Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away with these dumb idols, even as ye were led.
Mm-hmm.
Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed.
That's right.
And that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost.
That's true.
Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And there are differences of administrations,
mm-hmm.
but the same Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all.
Mm-hmm.
But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal.
See, all right, now, let's go to the Greek interlineal, those of you that have it here. And, of course, we're going to always do this comparison. Oh, my God. I would think that a child of God wants to know what the Word of God is actually saying.
Amen.
Do you want tradition or do you want truth?
Amen.
You know, some people are so caught up in tradition and concerned about being orthodox until they put blinders on when it comes to truth.
That's right.
I have no problem with being unorthodox.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Not for the sake of just being different, but for the sake of being correct.
Correct. Amen.
Because every time, everything that is orthodox is not correct. In fact, most things orthodox not correct.
Right.
Amen. And also, what is orthodox, that is, word orthodox mean that what is
right.
accepted by the majority is being truth. That's what's orthodox is.
Right.
Well, so what in most, in some eras, what was orthodox then is heresy now.
Amen.
And vice versa.
Right.
Things that were heresy, now orthodox.
Amen.
When they first came out with submerging baptism, that was heresy.
Amen.
A lot of people lost their lives teaching that.
Amen.
And now that's accepted as being orthodox.
Amen.
You know? So, what we want is truth. Huh? Amen. All right? Read that. Those of you who have it, to read along, and those of you who don't have it, look in your Bibles that you do have. Amen. The words are close, but this reading is more held accountable in that there the Greek word is right above it.
Right.
And if there's no Greek word there, you've got to put a footnote. You got to do something.
Yeah.
Amen. Because it exposes it. All right?
Yeah.
Read it. Close slowly.
Now about the spiritual matters.
About spiritual things, or spiritual matters, or spiritual.
Brothers, I do not wish you to be ignorant.
I don't want you to be ignorant. Keep reading.
Ye know that when nations ye were to the idols.
When you were nations, and the nations here have Gentiles, as it's translated, some, and basically Gentiles and nations. So when you were cut off from God in those other covenants.
Voiceless, however.
You were
led
away. What?
You were led.
Uh-huh.
Being led away.
Uh-huh.
Wherefore, I make known to you.
Mm-hmm.
That no one by the Spirit of God speaking says, a curse Jesus.
All right.
And no one
mm-hmm.
can say, Lord Jesus, except by the Spirit Holy.
So nobody can save except nobody can be in the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Said Jesus is a curse, not factually.
Right.
Yeah. I know what he's saying. You can't be in the Spirit, not the Holy Spirit anyway.
Right.
it said that Jesus is a curse.
Right.
By the same token. Unless you're in the Spirit, you can't say he's Lord.
Right.
Not it'll be a fact.
Right.
That's what he's saying.
Amen.
That's what he's saying. In other words, you know, the key is the spiritual things come to the Spirit.
The Spirit.
That's what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of stuff was going on in that church. It was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if somebody have a revelation, some years ago I was at a certain congregation, I won't call the name, and you know, they have this prophecy thing, and Oh, no. Oh, man, somebody, they all went into some kind of a trance. Then somebody said, yay, the Lord said this, and yay, the Lord said that, and then everybody go, ooh, the spirit is high in here. That, I said, this is the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life. Paul said, worse than that, said, one has a revelation, another, you know, have some prophecy, you know, and you're doing it in another language. And if somebody walked in here, they said, all these people in here are crazy. I'm just paraphrasing it. He said, are you mad? You know,
that's it.
He said, now, if you're going to speak in the other language, he said, man, don't do it unless you got somebody interpreting,
right,
so they know what you're saying.
Right.
Man, that would cut out, all the tongues in our churches today, wouldn't it, huh?
Oh.
that would just about eliminate that,
right.
That practice, right?
Sure.
Amen. Because every time somebody speaking tongues, oh, we don't go any further to you until you interpret.
Right.
And so here Paul was trying to get them, and I'm just giving you some background. What Paul is saying. And now, what he tries to do is he tries to direct the ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And these are instructions that are good for us in the ministry today.
Mm-hmm.
All right, read that.
Now, differences of gifts there are, but the same Spirit.
Uh-huh. Verse.
And
go ahead.
And differences of ministries there are.
Uh-huh.
And the same Lord.
Uh-huh.
Verse 6.
Uh-huh.
And differences of operations.
Uh-huh.
There are, but the same God.
Uh-huh.
Operating all things in all.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 7.
Mm-hmm.
But to each one is given.
Oh, my God.
The manifestation.
The manifestation. Oh, my God. Read it.
Of the Spirit.
Uh-huh.
To the profiting.
Mm-hmm. No. I get through that introduction today. I want to stop and I want you to take a real close look, prayerful look at what Paul is saying here. What is he saying? Now, you notice there's one word, the Greek noun, theoresis, that's in verse 4, it's in verse 5. And it's in verse 6. It's translated differences,
mm-hmm,
varieties. In verse 4, I want you to kind of juxtapose these a little bit, even in the King James.
Mm-hmm.
Take a pen, and nobody's Bible should be so precious that you can't.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it's your textbook. That fact, the word Bible, biblica, means book. Did you know that?
Yeah,
it simply means book.
Yeah.
Amen. Now, it is a special book. It's the glorious book. It's the book that's written by God. But that's all Bible means. Bible means book. Amen.
Book.
And your Bible is your textbook. The purpose of the scriptures are for us to learn. They are God's communication to us to learn.
That's right.
That's all it's saying to us. When you get to the fourth verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and you look at the fourth verse, even if you got the King James, you see the word diversities in there. Just circle that. In verse 5, they got differences. It's the same noun. It's the same Greek noun. There's no problem. Diversities, varieties, differences. Then in verse 6, you see diversities. In all three instances, you have the same. You've got the exact same Greek word.
Mm-hmm.
You see that?
Mm-hmm.
See that?
Mm-hmm.
Now, in verse 4, I'm just embarrassed me a little bit. Here, we got to set forth the actual script then. Is the Arises they charismaton. Charismaton. Which is the differences that belongs to gifts. Are the diversities that belongs to gifts. In verse 5, we got the Arises, the Aconion. That Greek word, the Aconion, that noun, which is in the genitive, is translated ministries. So we have diversities or differences that belong to ministries. There are different ministries or services. In verse 6, are you following me? You have the Arises and a ye maton. And a ye maton here. Energy, it's transliterated in English, energy, which is translated workings. How do you, according to Newton, what is works that was exerted when some what energy is expelled? Now, you know, going into a little bit of physics here. Some energy. So, but here you have varieties that belong to what? Energy. Our workings. Our activities. So you have different. Follow me now. Verse 4. Different gifts. Verse 5. Different ministries. Verse 6. Different operations. But you notice what ties them in together? On the back end, it says the same Spirit in verse 4. The same Lord in verse 5. Mm-hmm. The same God in verse 6. Mm-hmm. In other words, each one of these come from God. And you don't have a ministry that's functioning godly unless what's coming out of that ministry is from God.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
If it's foolishness, it's not
good. Make it
not. A whole lot of things are coming out of so-called ministries today.
Yes,
amen.
You know, I'm probably down into a complete didactic mode format right now, but I want you to understand what's coming out of this. Mm-hmm. What is he saying? Mm-hmm. What is he saying? Mm-hmm. You know, Paul said, everything that you're doing. It's not from God. And this is how you assess a ministry. This is how you assess the success of a ministry.
Amen.
Not by how many folk are following.
Uh-oh.
Not how much real estate they got.
Uh-oh.
Not how popular they are.
Amen.
Not how much money they got. No. Ministers today, they're rich in everything except the word. And that's the, my God, and unless you're rich in the word, amen, that's what comes from God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Glory to God.
Mm-hmm. That's what he's saying. And so this is our aim here at this humble ministry.
Mm-hmm.
It's to be rich in the word. That what comes forth comes from God.
Yeah. Yes, yes, yes.
That the source of it is from God.
Amen. Thank God. Amen. Thank you. Yes, Lord.
What is success anyway?
Albert.
Success is having the purpose, will, and plan of God revealed to you, and Him causing you to walk in it.
Right.
To walk in the knowledge of the truth.
Yeah.
If you're walking in the knowledge of the truth, you're successful ministry. Yeah. If your operations, if the talents that are being expended in the vein of conveying these truths, if your operations are there and they're focused in the vein of the truth, you're successful ministry.
Amen.
Not how much money you got.
Amen.
There are people out there that got all kind of money, more money than even the mega ministries, and they're not even thinking about God.
Amen.
So money is not a gauge. Oh no, it's not.
Amen.
Thank God. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. I'd rather be poor in funds and rich in Christ than to be rich in funds and ignorant of Christ.
Right. Yes, Lord. Amen.
No contest.
None.
Oh my God.
Amen.
One case said your riches perish with you.
Amen.
I look at verse 7. My God, look at that clock. Verse 7. In the Greek, basically, and to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for profit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's not saying for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying for those who are lying. You see, this is why you got to contextualize. The ministry that is operating according to the same Spirit,
mm-hmm.
which is God.
Mm-hmm.
You see what he's saying?
Mm-hmm.
You go to verse 5. The ministry of the service that's operating to the same Lord
mm-hmm.
and operations that are energized, are working according to the same God, and the same God is the one that's working in it. You have that word twice in verse 6. You have in the form of a participle, you have energon, which is a present participle, basically is working. What is working here? It's in that active voice. God is working.
Mm-hmm.
Glory.
When the operations are godly, God is working.
Mm-hmm.
And what he's saying is, when you have the manifestation according to all of this line up together, amen, it's profitable. It's profitable.
Yes, it is.
It's profitable to each. We have the adjective or pronoun ekos, which is translated, because it's in the dative case, to each.
Mm-hmm.
To each of a kind, to each of what? To each of those in the verses before that's operating according to the same God, amen, to each of those are given. What a given manifestation. We have the Greek noun there, phronosis. It is translated manifestation, disclosure, bringing to light.
Right.
So each of those are bringing to light. Bringing to light what?
Yes.
Bringing to light that which is according to what? Spirit.
Yes, Lord. Yes, amen.
Spirit. I'm trying to get them to see.
Yes.
That's, if you want to be profitable, operate absolutely in the Spirit.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Not in illusions of the Spirit, but in the Spirit. And He gives the essence of what the Spirit is. Amen. Then here it is pneumatos. It's in the genitive case. So it is phronosis to pneumatos, which is manifestation of the Spirit. Anything that being called manifestation of the Spirit is not so. You know, somebody stand up in church that I visited a couple times. This was a long time ago, and they were. It didn't take me long to figure out that some of the people that were saying, "Yay, the Lord said it," then you could turn to Isaiah, or you could turn to one of those prophets, and all they would do was quote it out of the Scripture. One time, minister said, "Everybody sit down." Said, "Some of these prophecies this morning were terrible." I said to myself, "All of them were terrible." First of all, they're all out of dispensation.
Right.
I hear you.
Right.
You over there in the Isaiah, that's not talking to you. What is that prophecy in the church? For me to engage you back in Deuteronomy and the Isaiah and the prophets and so forth, what prophet is that? The members of the body of Christ. I'm not saying you don't read them. I'm saying for the little time that we have, where should our focus be? Our gospel. So what Paul was trying to do, get them to focus away. First of all that stuff that was going on in the Corinthian church, those were carryovers from the kingdom church.
Yes.
They were operating like the church on the day of Pentecost. Mm-hmm. Somebody said, "Well, what's wrong with that?" What's wrong with it? Mm-hmm. What's right with it? He said, "Well, they're operating according to the Spirit." What would Paul write when he tells in the 6th chapter of Hebrews, when he's writing to the Hebrews? Mm-hmm. He said, "If God permits, let's put these things behind." The laying on of hands, and he spoke of some other things, that he said, baptisms and doctrines.
Right.
So put these things behind. Let's go forward. Let's get to the good stuff.
Right. Yeah. Glory to God.
That's what he's saying. So what is the good stuff? Oh my God, in eternity, before the foundation of the world, he elected you, he chose you in him. Amen. For your being holy and blameless. Oh my God, in love, he foreordained you. Oh my God, that's the good stuff.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank God.
God saved you before you got here. That's the good stuff.
Amen.
So now I'm not walking around here every day thinking I got to be, quote, spiritual in order to stay in good standing with God. Stuff that they call spiritual, oh my God. And the more they practice that stuff, the more they got in trouble.
Amen.
You know, you would think that they wouldn't have had no problems in that church of all that spirituality. Quote, I'm just using that terminology saying spirituality. Of all the quote spirituality they had, you wouldn't think they had any problems in that church. And they gave Paul a fit.
They did.
Always into some mess.
Amen.
And here's the difference. With all of that, you know who they were focusing on? Themselves.
Amen. Yep.
That's what gets us in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Because we focus on ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of focusing on God. Do you know we are the ones that get ourselves in the most trouble?
Amen.
Amen. When so-and-so got you in trouble, well, that's nothing compared to the trouble you get yourself in.
Amen.
This is why there's nothing to talk about when we come out here but Jesus.
Jesus.
It's about Jesus. So what Paul is trying to do, he's trying to get them to focus.
Mm-hmm.
Now go to the document, and hopefully we'll at least get out of that this morning. Go to the third page, page 1 of the page 2 of the, where it says introduction. Turn the page to the second page, because somehow I didn't get the pages numbered here. Or maybe you got it there. The third page there. In the first paragraph, it says the eternal doctrines of grace. Everybody see that?
Yeah.
Eternal doctrines of grace. Yeah. Everybody see that?
Yeah.
Now, going back, just to go back to bring forward, turn the page, one page back at the bottom there, where it says, what must be realized? You see that? What must be realized? In the page before it.
Yeah.
At the bottom there. What must be realized? Everybody got that?
Yeah.
What must be realized? Last paragraph. What must be realized? Everybody got that?
Mm-hmm.
All right. What must be realized? And these are the things we're just talking about. Is that the dislocations in the operations of human abilities and prevalence of freedom of the will teachings either thrust God's people into the inevitable frustration of idleness, or it binds them in the frequent employment of their deeds for his acceptance
right.
of their eternal state.
Right.
That's what these Corinthians were doing.
Mm-hmm.
Hence, the doctrine of the sovereign grace of God in election to salvation in Christ, it is more often dismissed or branded as heresy or Calvinistic. And I'm not the least bit intimidated. I don't care how big you are, how big a following you got, how much money you got, whatever you got or you think you got. I'm not the least bit. Not the least bit. Not the least bit intimidated. Because the Word of God puts us all on equal plane.
Amen.
And if I'm in the Word and you're not in the Word, I'm blessed and I'm being blessed, and you right now you're off track. So we teach sovereign grace, election to salvation. And that's running counter to free will, freedom of the will.
Mm-hmm.
It's no problem. Yet no matter how drastic syllogism develops and expands, it does not eliminate any of the insecurities in this life. And this is why we will stand, amen, and we will unabashedly, unintimidatedly, we will preach and we will teach against the doctrine of synergism. It is our desire, our desire of this ministry is to completely gut eviscerate the gut out, to take the guts out of synergism. People stop depending upon themselves.
Yes.
When it comes to God.
Goodness.
You either dependent upon yourself or you're dependent upon God. Mm-hmm. Which one are you dependent? Well, both. No, you're not. No, you're not.
Right.
No, you're not.
That's right.
No, you're not. No matter how dramatically synergism develops and expands, it does not eliminate any of the insecurities this life.
Amen.
These problems indicate that the emphasis must be twofold. Here's our emphasis.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we're going in all of this. And now we're going to move forward now. Our emphasis is, number one, sovereign grace in election of individuals to salvation. God chose individuals to salvation. It must be undauntedly propagated. As such, not through, not only propagated, but as that which has been actualized in God's eternal decree. Your salvation came into existence through God's decree. You were saved through God's decree. In eternity. And then number two, this must be extended to the factuality that all things, everybody say all things. All things were actualized in God's divine decree in eternity, with that depiction in the capsule of time relegated slowly for them as their manifestation. So what you see going around you is just the echo, a reflection in the mirror of what God has already brought into existence.
Glory to God.
Thus, God's people must become aware that once they've been placed in this knowledgeable position, they will no longer need to be concerned whether the potential of their individual performances is sufficient.
Amen.
And that such is irrelevant in the assignment of their status in Christ.
Right.
Now, listen. As we go into the home stretch here. The eternal doctrines of grace are not taught in order to disdain human efforts. I think I repeat that.
Amen. Thank God.
The doctrines of grace, the eternal doctrines of grace, are not taught in order to disdain human efforts, but to render them as subordinate to God's eternal decree. I'm not saying you don't go out and do anything.
Albert.
I'm going to let you know that what you're doing has been ordered by God's decree.
Yes, thank God.
So, well, when I do bad, yeah, would you do bad too? Say, so, well, then what is that? How does that work? We're depraved creatures. Our nature is sinful. And God has to veto.
That's it.
He has to interrupt and cause us to do the right thing versus what we would normally do. And when you do the right thing, it's because God, all people had it right. When you see me walking right, God is using me.
That's right there.
When you see me talking, when you see me doing and acting ugly and being, well, that's the sinful nature. God didn't veto it that time.
God didn't veto it that time.
Thank God. What's the difference between when you held your peace and you didn't? Well, God called you to hold your peace in one instance, and he just let depravity manifest in the second. Why would he do that? Well, so the testimony would be there of what God can do. Because the testimony is that in the one instance he did it, that was God. In the second instance, that was you. God didn't. that was the depravity running his course. His none should prioritize them, that is human efforts, over truly spiritual things, an assessment of such as determined the taskmasters for obtaining the physical necessities in this life. And here we're going to go into a little the thing here that actually focuses on our daily living and what we do, how we think. Amen. We truly prioritize the spiritual things. We are not dependent upon our human efforts. Because we realize that they are not determined taskmasters for obtaining the physical necessities in this life. The works of men somehow devise a form of living that exudes a false sense of security. Yet such induces a society where wants and needs are never abolished. Isn't that strange? The assurances of God's people flourish only in proportion to their comprehension that decisions concerning their lives are not in their own hands. And their safety is not invested in their incomes. Let that sink in.
Jesus.
Their stability is uncertain because they have been programmed to think that they have within their own means to effectuate self-improvement. In spite of this, assurances are accomplishable but solely for those confidently abiding in God's eternal divine decree.
Glory to God.
As the unscripted elements of human worth and abilities are exposed, the administering of grace doctrines will indeed accomplish the goal of guaranteeing that things are secured against loss or damage, even more than humanly inspired optimistic forecasts aver. We'll be back to this next week. Scripturally speaking, only God's eternal promise to Abraham is sufficient to put his children, the Commonwealth of Israel, on their own 2 feet on earth.
Right.
This is not comparable to some position in the heavenlies.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, huh? We'll deal with this next week. In the heavenlies, in Christ. Everybody say, in the heavenlies?
In the heavenlies.
In Christ.
In Christ.
Oh my God, my Lord, this is something. Where's that? That's in his body. This allows the unequivocal affirmation of ministering the enlightenment of truth that has been tragically etched in lethargy, complacency, and inexplicable indifference to God's agenda.
Amen.
Scripture analysis of these deficiencies assesses the cause for them, as only God knows, but serious focusing is indeed in order, as something is painfully sad about observing such privileged ones as ourselves not being exposed to the glorious truth,
yeah,
while they hopelessly and aimlessly live, yeah, beneath knowledge that God has availed against such seemingly impossible odds. Yet, deep in it within, God's people do desire enlightenment. You can see it, and this is why they're drifting all over the place. They do desire enlightenment, having sort of a spiritual longing. The contents of the conveyances herein, let's explain what we're doing in this document, attempt to effectuate correct views into spiritual mindsets. The interfacing of these issues engenders improvements such as is demonstratively advocated in the effectuation of scripture answers to the blatant illogical thinking or cogitation of traditionalism and denominational fundamentalism. The petitioning of meditation, yes, and we're petitioning a fight against the jargons of errant orthodoxy. It's intended to stem the tide of religious systems, which is absolutely necessary for truth to succeed in overthrowing the allegiances and effective controls of his forces. It is a fact that accurate thinking is not in most instances synonymous with the mindset of predominant thinking.
Right.
Furthermore, the propagation of truth has never relied on the support of the majority, as God has always worked to the praise of his glory through the minority.
Right.
Hence, there's no attempt in these writings to solicit orthodoxy for corroborative support.
Right.
Contrariwise, such scripture reasoning in the past has not only induced their resistance and even ridicule as annexed historically in the testimony of those whom God has privileged to be utilized in this manner of service to him. Hence, nothing any different should be expected in this endeavor. And this must be made perfectly clear to all partakers of the grace covenant. Recognizing this, it is acknowledged that tendering the proliferation of these solutions won't solve the world problems.
Yeah.
Oh no. But they provide ultimate answers and explanations that don't necessarily explain the seen as much as they explicate the unseen.
Yeah.
And so the aim is to wholeheartedly endorse the grace covenant as the exclusive directive to the church in the present grace dispensation. This is undoubtedly the most potent and authoritative instrument available to God's people in their struggles to abide in the knowledge of his will. Those who are indeed concerned about a better world, that is, justice, brotherhood, will even be more concerned about truth. And when one is committed to and concerned about truth, such one can never advocate fantasy or fallacy, no matter how popular such may be for enduring the masses.
Right, right.
Truth may not immediately quell the flames of fantasy, but will irrevocably establish the veracity of fact. Fallacy may successfully peddle a lie, but it cannot establish truth. Fantasy placates wild dreamers, but it veils the facts. In effect, darkness cannot extinguish darkness, because only light can do that. The purpose herein, and we close with this, the purpose herein of this exegetical search of the scriptures is the explication of the precious truth that the actualization of all things resides in God's divine decree. The course of everlasting life is structured by the assignment of divine orders arranged to advance to the end of God's purpose for each individual as has been ordained. As one is equipped with knowledge of God's eternal decree, such one will not be troubled with doubts of failures. Oh my God, about perplexing confusion as a result of events as they unfold contrary to our earthly expectations. As we are endowed with the proper view of time from the vantage point of eternity, we will not fault in the midst of adverse circumstances or question our status or standing in the moments of dark hours. Spiritual knowledge will deter us from standing delusion at the crossroads of the struggles of this life, because the truth testifies that regardless of how things may seem to be flowing, yes indeed, everybody say yes indeed.
Yes indeed.
This is merely the manifestation of God's eternally designed and decreed plan for our lives in the capsule of time. We'll move forward next week. God bless you.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.